So in the last study that we just heard, Jesus often replies in parables to people who oppose him. In the parable of the two sons, Jesus responded to those who rejected him, who rejected John the Baptist through a parable. In Matthew 21, verse 33 through 46, if you'd like to turn there with me, it reads, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers, that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the vine dressers? They said to him, 'He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers, who will render to him the fruits in their seasons.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder.'" So what does this parable mean? What does it represent? Well, the use of the vineyard, it refers to Israel. But it's not talking about Israel as a nation. It is talking about it in a manner referring to the advantages and opportunities that were given to the people of the chosen seed. The landowner who planted the vineyard, it represents God. The wicked vine dressers represent the leaders of Israel. It represents the priests, the scribes, the elders, and all of their followers. So it represents the entirety of Israel. The servants that were sent represent the prophets who were rejected. The landowner's son represents Jesus Christ himself. The ultimate meaning of this parable is that God sent people, such as the prophets and Jesus, to help the people of Israel see why God was just in bringing condemnation to the people of Israel and also in giving the blessings of Israel to those who are more deserving. The rejection of Jesus was foretold in scriptures, like in Matthew verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 42, which reads, "Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'" The builders represent the religious leaders, and the stone represents Christ, who they rejected. So what could we use for a takeaway from this parable? Well, we can start by noticing that God often grants us with wonderful privileges. An example of this would be with the land of Israel. God planted Israel in Canaan like a precious vineyard. He blessed the nation with laws, priests, prophets, and many more blessings. He even sent his only begotten son as their Messiah, which, if you ask me, is the best blessing anyone could ask for. How can we apply this to our lives today? Well, if you think about it, we already received the wonderful privileges of God. We can enjoy the fact that we have access to the Word of God, and we can worship him without fear of persecution. As it says in Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 through 17, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Well, this is talking about how we can hear what the prophets, the kings, and the saints, we can hear what they desire to hear, but they are unable to. Some people often make bad use of their privileges that they were granted. One example is the history of Israel as a nation established by God. They talk bad of God in the wilderness. They constantly turn their backs to God during the time of the judges. They persecuted his prophets, even rejected his own son. So what about us today? Well, we have blessings that were given to us through Christ. We were given the forgiveness of sins through his blood. We were given the joy of fellowship in the family of God. We were given the privilege of sharing the gospel with the dying world, even though many people, including Christians, turn their backs to these blessings. They sin, they do not seek forgiveness, they do not seek the help of God, they do not seek the help God gives to deal with sin, and they make little or no effort to spread the word of God. So what happens to those who make bad use of their privileges? Well, again, we look to Israel as an example. They suffered 40 years wandering in the wilderness. God allowed neighboring nations to be a thorn in their side. They endured captivity by the Babylonians and Assyrians. And so, as it says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." So would God bring such judgments against us? Well, let's allow the Bible to give us the answers. Let's first look in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and also verse 6, which reads, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?'" Sorry, John chapter 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Seems pretty obvious that if we make bad of our privileges, we will be cast out of the vineyard. Another place we could look at would be in the book of Revelation. So in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and also verse 16, it reads, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." And verse 16 says, "Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Again, this is telling us right from the source that God will have no problem doing to us what he did to the people of Israel if we make bad of our works. Again, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, it reads, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found the works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." These verses seem to have a little more urgency to them. Like how at the end of the verses it says, "Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you." That should definitely keep you on your toes and help you make sure that you're ready for when God comes, because we don't know when God is going to come. If we don't utilize our privileges, God will take away our blessings and give them to someone who appreciates them. God really has given us wonderful blessings. He has made us worthy to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. He even sent us apostles and prophets of his Son, whose words are in the New Testament. We need to be careful about how we receive them, because the next time Jesus is sent, he will be coming in terrifying judgment.